Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. This is a live show and our call-in number, as always, is 510-770-1550. That's 770-1550. If you're a parent listening to this show, you know how much your life revolves around your kids. From driving them around town to helping them with their homework, so much of a parent's daily life revolves around the lives of their children. This is quite natural. But what happens when the kids are ready to leave the nest? Are we prepared to let them go? How do we deal with the empty house after they're gone? That's our topic for today. Later on in the show, I have some exciting news from the India Community Center that I will be sharing with you. First, let me introduce you to our guests in the studio today. Dr. Lina Atul Khanzode is a child and adult psychiatrist trained at Stanford. She also works part-time for a non-profit called Bay Area Children's Association in Cupertino and has a part-time private practice in Los Altos as well. She has helped many kids and parents. Welcome back to the show, Lina.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again.
Malini Patel is a media director for Compassionate.com and she's a marketing professional associated with many other ventures. She's also an empty nester whose kids have grown up and found their own directions. Welcome to the show, Malini.
Thank you for having me.
So, Lina, this phenomenon of when our kids leave home is often referred to as an empty nest syndrome. So is this a genuine issue?
Yes, it is, actually. So to kind of help the listeners understand what really emptiness syndrome means, it's a psychological condition which is experienced by most parents mm-hmm. when their kids leave home either for education, like they move for college, or they get married and move out living independently. And it's a psychological condition that ranges from different emotions, just feelings of intense loneliness because the children have left home. Mm-hmm. From that to feelings of depression, anxiety, worrying about how the kid's going to do, and sometimes leading to an identity crisis.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, for
so
most
of our identities are wrapped around parenting.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So particularly for moms, particularly for stay-home moms who've dedicated their 18, 20 plus years after the child was born to stay home to make sure, you know, they are well cared for and they are, you know, trained.
Successful adults.
Yeah. And so suddenly it's like, okay, now that was my role. That was my identity. And the kid is leaving. So what do I do? Who am I now? Mm. So mm-hmm. that actually, I've worked with a few families and have seen kind of this range of emotions people go through. And the identity crisis is a big one that actually leads to depression at times. And people just have a hard time getting out of it.
So it's a very common issue.
It is. It is.
Right. Malini, you are an empty nester. Your kids moved out a few years ago.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So did you experience some of these emotions when your younger one left
I
for college?
I kind of did initially with my first child.
Oh, okay.
And I think I realized my children didn't really need me mm-hmm. very soon. Mm-hmm. And so having that realization, I pretty much kind of got onto my own thing and started doing a lot of activities myself to mm-hmm. keep myself occupied.
Right.
And before I knew it, I actually found my identity, which I think somewhat did get diluted while I was a parent.
Right. And so, Lina, would you say that Indian parents in particular are much more probably wrapped up in their kids' lives than maybe their American counterparts?
I agree. And I think the shift of the shift in having the kids leave home right after they finish high school, which is very different than how we grew up in India, where
that's true.
I remember I stayed home forever. So it's like, you know, that is a big shift here, which is very hard to get used to.
Right.
And, you know, that whole autonomy that the kids, you know, demand here based on the culture they are growing in here.
Right.
And I think to some extent, I think, you know, it's helpful for parents to kind of be prepared while the kid is kind of, when they go into high school, they are kind of being independent and they are aloof already. So that's mm-hmm. the time, kind of, that's the prep up time to kind of say, okay, a few years down the line, they are not going to be here. And so what can I do when they are gone? So those are the years to actually work on to
sort of prepare for their leaving.
Yeah,
absolutely. And on that note, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk some more about how we need to prepare ahead of time and how difficult it is to do that, because they're still kids in our minds. They're still kids and they still need us. And to break that tie is a lot harder than we probably think it is. So let's take a break. Our number always is 510-770 1550. If you're an empty nester, we'd like to hear from you about the feelings you went through and how, whether you had trouble establishing an identity of your own afterwards. And we'll also talk about the differences between the way men approach empty nesting compared to women. You're listening to Parent Talk. I'm talking to Dr. Leena Kanzode and Malini Patel today, and we'll be back after a break. Welcome back to Parent Talk. This is Vidya, and you're listening to a show sponsored by the India Community Center. Today's show, we're talking about how difficult it is for parents to let go when their kids are going to leave home, either for college or to get married. We're talking to psychiatrist Dr. Leena Kanzode and empty nester Malini Patel. And before the show, we were talking about how this is a real issue. It's not, I mean, it's called an empty nest syndrome. As you can imagine, the nest is now empty because the kids have gone away. And kids and parents do feel a lot of anxiety and loneliness, and as Dr. Kanzode pointed out, they also feel a sense of identity crisis because so much of their identity has been wrapped up in their children. And Malini also shared her experience of how she felt when her kids were moving away. And later on in the show, we'll also talk about how parents can make themselves independent. But before that, I want to touch on something we talked about a little bit earlier, which is how do we help our kids feel independent, and how do we get to the point where we feel that our kids are independent so that we don't feel quite as stressed anymore about their leaving and their preparedness for adult life. Our number is 770-1550. That's 510-770-1550. And Leena, let's talk about a little bit about that. You know, you said before the break that maybe high school is a time when parents start to sort of mentally prepare themselves and prepare themselves for children being adults. So what would you suggest that they do at that point?
Yeah, so, you know, I think the preparation for getting through or not getting as affected by the empty nest is two parts. One is trying to make sure you are that kids are really ready for this transition, and then you yourself are ready for this, and how are you going to actually deal with it when it comes. So the first part of you know, kids being prepared, so I think generally a year before the transition is happening, so maybe the last year of high school, mm-hmm. Would be an important time to start focusing on how the kid is actually doing, you know, kind of making sure they are able to take good self-care. Mm-hmm. It ranges from maintaining their hygiene to making sure they can laundry their clothes and, you know, can live independently, to other things like even managing their finances, maintaining a checkbook or credit card and maybe able to pay their bills. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those things, if you try to do that ahead of time and the kids kind of gain the confidence that they can actually do this on their own independently when they are on their own, that makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. It's because, you know, the parents' anxiety or worries around, okay, how is my kid going to be? Mm-hmm. Are they going to eat properly? Are they going to, you right. know, spend money well, or are they going to use it in a wrong way? I mean, there's like all kinds of worries that come out. Are they, you know, here I wake them up, are they going to get up or get tardy to school? I mean, you know, yeah. there's a range of things that are part of the daily routine that the parent can think about and get so worried
about. So, and I want to mention that, you know, when I was growing up, I stayed with my parents for quite some time as well, and you harking back to that and remembering that, I remember how much my parents did for me way later in the process, you know, till 18, 19, probably my parents were doing a lot for me. Mm-hmm. And so it probably makes it a little bit harder for us to let go, right? Because we were treated as children when we were 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
But we don't get to treat our children as children, but rather as young adults at that point. Malini, did you have that feeling?
I kind of think for South Asians here, the first generation is almost the first generation who's sending their children to, you know, colleges here. So
right.
the anxiety is even more because it's the unknown.
Right.
And they're always thinking, oh, what? You know, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? But I think at that stage, you have to say it's fine. You know.
Mm-hmm.
They grew up in this country and they will deal with things, you know. Even if as a parent you're not from here,
mm-hmm.
your children did grow up in those schools here. So
that's true.
You have to give
that's
them
true.
That confidence. You have to give them autonomy, respect and support
right.
in whatever they choose to do. And also not be so caught up in your expectations of them, you know, because your kids will surprise you. They will go to college, they will try out drugs, they will have multiple dates.
Now you're scaring the parents.
You know, they will date more than one woman. Like, they will do a lot of things you may not approve of.
Right.
But it's part of growing up. So
let them make their mistakes.
Let them make their mistakes.
And learn from them and, you know, grow up and mature as, you know, adults who can make good decisions, have had their head on their shoulders.
And Malini, I think your kids were really lucky to have you as a mom who let them go. But did you have an experience that your friends weren't quite as comfortable letting their kids go?
Yeah, I had a lot of friends who were over-parenting even when their kids were in college.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, one of my friends would... whose son, he used to love gulab jambus, right? Mm-hmm. So anytime she knew her son is coming back home, she would take, like, you know, 10 hours making gulab jambus. And when he would come home, he wouldn't touch anything, right? So she would be so disappointed.
This is so familiar to me.
It took a while to realize that, you know, my son no longer wants to eat them.
Absolutely.
So don't waste your time. Move on.
Right.
You know?
And I think this I've seen a lot, where the parent still holds on to the child's likes and dislikes from their childhood.
Yeah.
And then they don't realize that the child has now gone and sort of made an identity for themselves, which may not be the same one that they were exposed to. And it's very disconcerting. Lina, how does a parent manage that? Because I know of a mother who does the same thing, you know, when the child returns home. And it's not a child anymore. He's an adult. He's a grown-up. But when he returns home, the same karela sabzi will be made and the same, you know, the child has gone past that.
Right.
And he's like, I don't eat this anymore. And she said, but you used to love it when you were six. And, you know, I'm not 6 years old anymore. But how does a parent deal with that?
I know. And I think, you know, the thing I do working with the families, I remind the parents about this transition time in their life, how that was for them. So, you know, I think it helps to kind of go back and see, okay, yeah, my likings have changed from my childhood through my adulthood. And mm-hmm. I used to like this particular thing and now I don't, or I have a different, you know, it's not just food, but just perspective. Points of view on over different things. And mm-hmm. so I think taking a step back and realizing that they are not children anymore, they are old enough to make, you know, good decisions, or you can, like, they have their own opinion and we need to respect that, and kind of remembering that the relationship has now changed from parent-child to being friends.
Yes.
It's very,
very hard. And it's very,
very
hard.
Easier said than done.
Yes,
but
yes.
It is important to do that.
And especially, it's especially hard because your own parent is still treating you as a child sometimes. Because when I talk to my mother, the first thing she'll ask is, "Theek se khana khaya?" You know, have you eaten properly? And I'm like, I'm 45 years old. I think I know how much I should be eating by this point of time. But that's the relationship, right?
Yeah.
For her, I'm always going to be a child. For me, my children are always going to be my children. It's hard to look at them
as friends. Exactly. And then I think, you know, so like the example you shared, when you get little irritated or annoyed when your mom asks you about, like, are you eating well still? I think bringing that into, you know, perspective and, like, okay, this is how my child might feel too, and that's why they are reacting. They're not necessarily being disrespectful, but they are just not the same person anymore.
It's a tough call. Yes,
Malin. I think you do have to give them a lot of privacy, you know. And
allow them to have secrets, is what you're saying?
Allow them to have secrets.
That's very interesting.
And, you know, like for me, it was often my son is a little aloof. So at any given time, he might not communicate with me for a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so my one way of finding out he's alive was through Facebook, because there was some activity there, right?
Right.
But, you know, even when they go to college, if they don't call you for a week or something, you have to realize they're busy, you know. Don't have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And just be patient, you know. They will eventually call you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I hear a lot of parents, so I have to talk to my child every day or every week. And it can become very claustrophobic for
right.
the child.
Right. So you're saying let them go. And they'll come back
mm-hmm.
if you've done a good job.
Yeah. I think all the work is in the first, whatever, 18 years. So if you've instilled good values and if you've taught them the right things, they will do fine.
They will do fine. And on that note, let's take another break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk a little more about our own independence from our children. And I think that's the core of the show. So we're talking about empty nest syndrome today with Dr. Lina Khanzode and Malini Patel. Our call-in number is 770-1550. And you're listening to Parent Talk with Vidya, a show sponsored by the India Community Center. Back after a break. Welcome back to Parent Talk. I'm Vidya and I'm talking to Dr. Khanzore and Malini Patel about the empty nest syndrome, or the kind of loneliness and depression parents feel, especially moms feel, when their children have moved out of the house. Before this segment, we talked a little bit about how we can prepare our children to be more responsible adults briefly when they are leaving for college, so that the anxiety level that we suffer about whether they're eating well, whether they're sleeping on time, whether they can wake up on time, and all those mundane chores that we've been doing for them for the last 18 years, that they can do themselves, so that we're a little more confident about their ability to look after themselves. But more importantly now in this segment, Lina and Malini, I would like to talk about how we as parents can make ourselves independent of our kids, because I think that is also a very, very hard thing to do. And it's good to make them independent, but I feel that in some ways they are our children always, and we are always wrapped up in their lives to a great deal. And especially as moms, and as you mentioned earlier in the show, stay-at-home moms have a bigger burden because that is their job. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if they've got laid off their job now,
exactly.
Isn't it? So let's talk a little bit about how moms in particular, and we'll talk a little bit about dads later, can get to that point where they say, I have to have a life for myself. Is doing it at senior level of your child's college a little late to be doing that?
Not at all. I think, you know, it's important for the parents to actually redefine the child's departure as a new beginning for their life.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing that this was the job or identity they were wrapped in, but now that's going away. But I still have a lot of ways to keep myself busy, mm-hmm. Use my talents, use my skills. So, you know, important to go back to careers they were in before.
A lot of connections? And I think that we'll address it in some future show, but maybe keep in touch with all your old contacts, and maybe if you're in a profession that requires you to stay updated, maybe
right.
do those updated courses or whatever you need, so that
yeah.
You know.
And I know of a few moms I know that they went back, they updated their credentials, and they went back starting their career all over again.
Wow.
You know, that takes a lot of dedication and motivation. But you know, if that's not something everyone can do, mm-hmm. you still have other choices. You can take up the hobby you were not putting in so much time in, mm-hmm. again, like mm-hmm. gardening or even volunteering somewhere where your hobby is actually best used.
Mm-hmm.
It could be also, participating in social events, you know, reconnecting with your friends and family where, you know, you had little time to do that before, but kind of engaging in that social networking all over again.
Yeah, that's a
good very
idea.
Important. And most important of all is to actually rediscover the love in your relationship with your husband.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
think, you know, it's almost like redefining the marriage all over again, mm-hmm. where in the last 18, 20 years, it was all revolved around kids, and we go out on a date or talk, you know, over the dinner, and every time it's like, okay, so what are we going to do? What activities he should do, she should do,
mm-hmm.
Which college he should, she should be applying for.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, okay, when we go out for a dinner, we are going to talk about ourselves and what we would like to do from now on.
Mm-hmm.
So that shift.
I want to address this in two parts. And Malini, you also took big steps in reconnecting after your kids left. Just share with us what you did to create that new identity for yourself.
So I think it was a two-part thing where I actually wanted to do things for myself,
mm-hmm.
and also do things with my husband.
Right.
So I had to get a little organized in the sense of the things I wanted to do for myself,
mm-hmm.
which was to grow my network of friends. So
right.
I joined meetup.com.
Right.
And I joined up for a lot of different groups. And it would be like a travel group or, just social groups.
So it was like a trial and error. You
it
wanted to see where your best fit was,
fit
sort
was,
of.
It was, right. Mm-hmm. So, and mm-hmm. then, you know, so there's an opportunity for you to travel,
mm-hmm.
you know, through meetups. So that was something I kind of did. Also, I started redating my husband. Like on Fridays, we would have a date night.
Mm-hmm.
And on weekends, we would just go away somewhere, you know, out of the home.
Mm-hmm.
So experience something different, you know, go
right.
somewhere, see something different. And consciously, I had to make a decision not to talk about my kids all the time.
Right.
You know, so even if we go for a movie, I would rather talk about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go to a play, I'd rather talk about a play.
Right.
And also, you know, catching up on a lot of the books I wanted to read. Cooking together. So there are a lot of activities I started doing that were different. But consciously, I did have to make a decision that I'm not going to be talking about my kids and I'm going to give myself some time out and some space.
But you know, so, Lena, here's what I want to ask you from your experience. A lot of first generation of us have come through in arranged marriages, right? And not necessarily because we had shared interests and shared, you know, activities in common.
Right.
And for a lot of the marriages, it's the kids were the glue that was holding it together. So in your experience, was that, have you seen that be a real problem? Because the kids are gone and you want to do these things together, but, you know, he's sporty, you're homebound, you know, you like arty movies, he likes action flicks. How do you resolve that conflict and what is the effort that the couple has to make at that point?
Right. So I think, you know, I've come across families where, they had these conflicts all along when the kids were younger, but somehow, like you said, the kid was the glue and they couldn't make a decision to separate or, you know, go on separate paths because their interests don't match or they just can't get along with each other because the best interest of child was the priority.
Right.
But now it's like, okay, now the kid is on his own, they're doing fine. So a lot of times the conflicts can rise again. And I think with as you age, the rigidity increases, the flexibility goes down.
Right,
you know, the amount of tolerance one would have to deal with other person's indifference really just changes big time. And so, unfortunately, a lot of times divorces happen a lot during that period of time for a lot of couples. So I think it's important to be aware of that risk and and prepare ahead of time that, okay, this is coming, but, you know, realistically, what is more valuable in this relationship to me? You know, even though I have these differences, what are some of the strengths or qualities I like about the other person and what can we still do to mitigate some of the differences and kind of move on in a start a new positive beginning?
In my experience, I mean, I actually know this person who was a stay-at-home mom, had interests and stuff, but a lot of her identity was wrapped up in her children. And when the children left, there was certainly a big gap in the husband's self-esteem and the wife's self-esteem. Because the husband's self-esteem was connected around the career, so his didn't change at all.
Exactly.
Whereas the wife's was entirely wrapped up with the kids, and now she felt, what am I doing here? And then the other, you know, I'm just a household manager, you know, I'm cooking and cleaning, but what else do I do? So what would you advise? I'm asking this of both of you. Malini, you said you joined meetups, but what did you do to make yourself feel useful?
I think I just grew my circle of friends who were all very diverse. And so with each friends, you know, they offer something different. And the more, it's just getting out of the house, being busy, even getting yourself back in shape, you know, because all this time, you know, you're so consumed with your kids, you don't look after yourself.
That's true.
So it's
very
important to get back in shape, you know, start living a healthy lifestyle. And so all of that also took up my time, you know, exercising regularly. And
I also note that you're the media director for Compassionate. How did that happen?
So that was actually a group of my friends who were part of the PTA. We were all always involved in the school. And we decided to form a startup to help women who are going through divorce or becoming widows later on in life. So it's like an annual symposium for women who are going through changes in the middle ages.
And that's another complication because you're dealing with a lot of midlife crises at the right time when the kids are leaving.
So yeah, I want to point out, you know, medically, biologically, there's a lot of changes going on for women along with this transition, big transition of losing their, you know, little kids. It's menopause time. It's big hormonal imbalance going on at that time. So a lot of times people who may have some part-time careers are retiring at that time. So there's right. loss of job, loss of child, loss of the two important roles they were dealing with. Mm-hmm. One of the things I think I have spent time working with moms, particularly the example you were sharing earlier, what do moms do if the dad's self-esteem is tied with their job? Mm-hmm. What do moms do? And I think it's important for moms to remember or create this sense of pride all over again that they spent those years taking care of their children, and they have really put in the efforts to make them successful adults.
Right.
So if their kids are now at a nice, very popular, well-recognized university, it's their effort that has paid off. Mm-hmm. So that sense of pride, that sense of belongingness,
accomplishment
that, okay, you know, I did this, and you know, my son or my daughter is becoming a doctor or becoming a lawyer or whatever profession they are choosing.
Are happy and well adjusted.
Because of the sacrifices I made. Maybe I sacrificed my career and I chose to take care of them, and mm-hmm. I chose to be with them, you know, to make sure their academics was well managed or whatever. So I think that should be a big thing to boost their self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. As a final question, I want to go back to this conflict thing that I want to talk about, and I'll ask this question of both of you, is that what happens if you discover at that point that you and your husband are actually very different people? I know you said, you know, find out what their strengths are and what are the things you liked about them. I'm not talking about dislike, but more about how do you find things to do in common. And Malini, maybe you can share that with us, because my understanding is that you're actually a very different person from your husband.
Oh yeah, we are very different, and I think it took us a while to accept the fact that we are.
Hmm.
And so we are very comfortable doing things separately.
Right.
And I think that's something you have to accept.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you have to give each other freedom mm-hmm. to do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more social. He's not. Hence, I like to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's fine, you know.
Right.
Whatever I like to do, that's fine. Also, I think there's also a lot of South Asian women who are caught up in this sandwich generation where they go from looking after their kids to looking after their parents.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And they are normally the, you know, husband's parents.
Right.
So I think for me, it was a very much a decision that I'm not going to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to live my own life. And I think a lot of women don't realize that. They
just jump from one caregiving to another
caregiving. And that's even a more sign for getting depressed,
right,
you know, because they don't want to do it, but they still continue doing it.
Right. But how did you find commonalities with your husband? How did you find those things that maybe you would also be interested in, he would also be interested? Or did you guys say, you come to one event that I like and I'll come to one event you like?
Yeah, up to an extent there is that, you know, compromise.
Right.
So I mean I hate some of the movies that he wants me to go see, but I still go there. I go to sleep, but I will go and see the movies he likes.
Yeah.
And it's the same for him, you
yeah.
know. But that's something we do. We compromise with little things like that.
Yeah, and try to see the other person's point
of view. And try to see that point. Yeah.
Lena, so, what would you say? You have the last word.
I think, you know, I agree. I think that approach is the most prudent one, Malini. I think, you know, yeah, there's going to be tons of differences, but I think as long as you respect each other for whatever you are doing and giving each other the space, and then still finding some common grounds where you can, you know, give in, you can compromise a little bit and say, okay, I'm going to do this for you, you do this for me.
Right.
Kind of, you know, the give and take that can happen.
Would it help if, for parents listening, I think many of our listeners have young kids, so it's this empty nester syndrome maybe a ways in the future, okay. But maybe they should sort of open their eyes to the fact that, hey, someday we are going to be empty nesters and we better find some things that maybe we have in common, or start developing an interest, you know.
Exactly.
Both of you take up a sport or an organization that you support, and you know, you go for all those activities, you know, like a run or a walk or something that, mm-hmm. that you can do together, and maybe start preparing that, hey, we need to have something in common when the kids are gone.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's good to like surprise your husband sometimes and make him do something different.
Out of the box
and then, you know, before you know it, they actually enjoy it.
That's so true. You never know till you try, I suppose.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, those are great ideas, and I think that's our end of this segment. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about a new venture that ICC has started. But I want to really thank Dr. Lena Khanzode and Malini Patel for being with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure having you. We're going to go on a really short break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Mansi Dharne, and we'll get back to you. Welcome back to Parent Talk. Earlier in the show, we've been talking about parents whose kids are leaving home to go to college perhaps. And now in this segment, we're going to be talking about parents whose kids are just about to begin school. Yes, I have some exciting news for you today. The India Community Center is beginning a preschool in the fall. And we have Mansi Dharne, ICC Preschool Director, with us on the phone to tell us about it. Welcome to Parent Talk, Mansi.
Hi, Vidya. Thank you so much. Good morning.
So tell us, what was the thinking behind ICC starting a preschool?
So basically, for so many years, the India Community Center has been serving the Indian community with many different avenues. Such as we have a very good senior program, Save-a-thon, mm-hmm. many other events that bring the community together.
Right.
As a family, we want to create a family with our rich heritage and culture that we already have. So launching a preschool is just another very significant step in mm-hmm. serving the community. Mm-hmm. And this allows, and allowing ICC parents and the community, and we want to include a very unique Indian culture and tradition in a very loving and welcoming environment for our children.
So my understanding is that the preschool, because it is part of the India Community Center, will have elements of the culture as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, so we want to bring in a little bit of our culture and heritage and values into every aspect of the room. Like mm-hmm. if we have a reading corner, we want to make sure we have available Indian books, Indian fables, to the children. We might tell them Indian stories, do a puppet show. In the kitchen, we want to have some Indian dolls, some traditional Indian toys from different parts of India.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, we want to encourage children to understand where we come from.
Right.
Also, there are other aspects in the room where, we might have dramatic play, where we might have toys, again, dress up from our different, countries, cities from India.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to have a classroom which has lots of free opportunities for children to basically nurture their curiosity. We want them to widen their knowledge mm-hmm. and help develop their independence, inner discipline, confidence, and have a complete overall personality. So they're ready for school. They're ready for kindergarten. Ours is basically a play-based method.
That's wonderful. It sounds great. Now, tell me a couple of things. One is, what is the capacity of this preschool? How many kids can you take up?
So, we are currently licensed for 23 or 24 children.
Mm-hmm.
But since this is our very first year, we want to be careful on how many children we want to have in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are not wanting to exceed more than 10, maximum 15 children. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we are giving hands-on experience to the children and personal attention.
Mm-hmm.
We will not exceed, if we have 8 children, there will be 1 teacher.
What is the ratio?
8-1, which is very low.
8-1. Yeah, that's very low. Absolutely.
Yes, mm-hmm. That way they feel connected to the classroom. We want the parents to also feel that, they are welcome, they are, the children are comfortable and safe, and they are okay. They are welcome to reach us at any point. The child, you want it to be a wholesome system where, it's not a school. It's a school which has, which connects the families together.
And so, what is the age at which you're taking kids?
So the age we are accepting is age 3 to age 5.
3 to 5, okay.
Yes.
And this, given the small numbers, I'm guessing this is like a pilot program and it'll expand in the future, right?
Yes. Yes, so we've started right now with 1 classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And, we will see where it takes us.
Right. Tell us a little bit about the outdoor play area. Because from my recollection, the ICC building really did not have one before. Is there a play area for the children?
Yes, we have actually created a beautiful play area outside.
Mm-hmm.
Right outside the classroom, which has their private entrance. So they're not really using any other entrance to get into the play area.
Mm-hmm.
Right outside the classroom, it's visible from the classroom itself. It is completely gated from all sides, which is safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, they stay inside that area itself with absolutely the teachers present at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a grass area, which is a good runaround space.
Mm-hmm.
Where we might also have snacks. There is a shaded area added to the outside place.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be outside from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a tan bark area where we are adding a few toys, climbers and stuff. We're still working on getting safe, natural-made toys, which mm-hmm. are not harmful to the children also.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a pretty big area for them to run around and have that outdoor exercise.
Outdoor exercise. And is it? Are you offering a full day service or is it a half day class?
So we are currently offering three programs.
Mm-hmm.
It is a half day, a full day, and an extended day program.
Mm-hmm.
The half day runs from 9 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
The full day program is 9 to 3. And the extended day program is 9 to 5.
Right.
Now, with this, we are also offering a three-day option, which is if a family needs to just send their child for 3 days,
mm-hmm.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday,
mm-hmm.
we are all offering the same timing for just the 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
More information on the preschool is on our website.
I was just going to ask.
www.indiacc.org/preschool.
So there is
a lot of information about the timing, the fees, the options that you might want to pay.
Right. And when does the school start? What's your opening day?
So we are starting on September 14. That's when our academic school year will begin.
Mm-hmm.
We are also offering a summer program for August for 4 weeks.
It's
like a tryout session for a family. If you want to just try out a week, you know, there is a fee added to that, but it's just a tryout for a family to understand how the preschool program is going to work.
Right.
We connect with other families who are interested in the academic year, connect with the teachers. So it is a good way to know what we are offering, how the school is going to go about, and how their child is going to do.
And that starts next week, August 1st?
Yes, it starts August 6th, and it will
August
run 6th. All the way through August 31st.
It'll go all the way. And do the parents have the flexibility of saying, I just want to try out for a week? Is that fine?
Yes, absolutely. They have that flexibility. They only pay for the week. We are also offering one free-day class.
Mm-hmm.
Since we are also offering a second open house on August 11th. It's from 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
If you attend the open house, you are welcome to attend just one free class. So you can pick any day in August and come from 9
just
to 10
try it
and your
out.
Child can be in the class.
So Mansi, we're coming to the end of our time allotment here, but I think we got a lot of information out there. And
yes.
So for listeners, please check out indiacc.org/preschool. Mansi, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us about the preschool. I just want to mention that if you want to listen to recordings of the show, please check out indiacc.org/parenttalk. I'm on vacation for the month of August, but Parent Talk will be continuing with exciting young guest hosts who will bring a lot of vibrant energy to the show, so be sure to tune in. I will be back in September. Today's show was produced by Saad Jafri and the theme tune was composed by Naren Pradhan. Tune in same time, same place next week for another show on parenting. I will be back in September, but there will be guest hosts next week. Till then, happy summer holidays and bye-bye. Sanskriti